When you invest in ETFs, your capital is at risk. This show is for professional investors only. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Thematic Matters, the new thematic investing podcast from Han ETF, Europe's most extensive thematic ETF issuer. So today I'm delighted to say we're joined by Aaron Fisher, who's the creator of the Fisher Sports Betting and iGaming UCITS ETF. Please remember, this podcast is for professional investors only. Thanks for joining, Aaron.
Hi, thanks.
So to start, could you explain the theme behind the ETF?
So, yeah, we're very excited about the theme. It's a theme around sports betting and iGaming, which is also known as online casino. So there's huge growth in the sports betting and online gaming market globally. And in some countries, this has already been a pretty well-developed market, such as the UK and Australia. So it's already been a very strong market, strong industry in those countries, you know, particularly Europe and also Australia. And what's happening right now is that there's an explosion in growth in the US market, and that will really drive the global growth in the industry over the next 5 to 10 years. So we're very excited about the growth rates we're seeing off a pretty low base in this country, in the US. There was, up until a few years ago, just sort of three or four states that legalized sports betting and online gaming, and now this is starting to spread across the entire US. Goldman Sachs have been forecasting that the market would grow from roughly $2 billion in revenues in 2020 up to $53 billion in revenues in 2033. So sort of 26, 27 times increase in the revenues over the coming few years. So really exciting growth rate for the US and sports betting and iGaming. So pretty exciting. So from a revenue perspective, a lot of growth. But what makes this industry a little bit different from others is that we also see, you know, strong visibility around EBITDA margins and free cash flow. Like any gaming market, there's always a lot of high setup costs in the beginning. So if you're building a bricks and mortar casino, you know, these days they can cost anywhere from, you know, $4, $5, even up to $10 billion. That's a very high startup cost. But once you get the business up and running, it generates very high free cash flow. So in the context of the digital space, the upfront costs are the technology platforms and also the customer acquisition and marketing costs. So at the moment, there's very, very heavy losses being incurred by some of these companies that include DraftKings and MGM and Caesars to some degree. But we do believe that once we get through these startup costs, which are not CapEx as such, but more really operating expenses, we'll start to turn around and see, you know, very strong EBITDA margins and free cash flow. And we think this year in 2022 will be the trough in the operating losses. So we think it's a good time to start looking at these themes and these stocks right now.
So you briefly mentioned it in your answer, but obviously a big catalyst is this this change in laws across the US, but it really starts with a ruling by the Supreme Court on a federal level. Could you go and give us a big broad overview of this?
Yeah, so for the most part, online gaming has been illegal in the US, except for, you know, a very small number of states, despite the fact that online gaming, online betting has been taking place, you know, illegally. And the American Gaming Association estimated that $150 billion was waged on sports a couple of years ago. They made the forecast. So a huge amount of betting was already taking place illegally through sort of illegal sports books or maybe even the local bookie in your area. So the idea was that it's happening anyway. There's huge demand for online betting and sports, so let's make it legal and regulate it. So PASPA, which is the legislation controlling or restricting sports betting, was overturned 3 years ago now. And that meant that it was up to each individual state to decide whether they want to legalize, you know, sports betting or iGaming. So that was a really major change. And that's really a key catalyst for growth, because there's always been the demand for betting on sports and casino in the US, but also most countries around the world. So what we're seeing right now is that the number of states that have legalized sports betting already in the last 3 years has increased to 34 states. And Morgan Stanley expect that to increase to 42 states by 2025. Now, online casino, which is actually more profitable than sports betting, has been a bit slower on the uptake. We're at 7 states right now, and that's expected to get to 11 states in the next 3 years. So, you know, a really rapid expansion in the number of states that have legalized sports betting and iGaming. So that's really been one of the major catalysts.
So how do you expect the kind of legislative situation to develop? Because there's still, as you say, several states that haven't, several big ones too, potentially big markets, California, Massachusetts. What's holding back these states that still haven't done it? And what do you think might change to convince them to kind of establish this legal regulatory framework and to move into legalizing it essentially?
Yeah, gambling is always a hot topic. So in some states, you've got some, you know, religious groups that, you know, will be opposed to gaming. So the states like Utah, for example, that we don't think will ever legalize any online gaming. Texas is another state which is, you know, a bit more of a challenge. And then in places like California, where I live, there's already, you know, quite a bit of gaming that's taking place in California in card clubs. Small casinos in Los Angeles, for example, and also there's quite a few casinos on tribal land, and we, you know, we believe there's a bit of resistance from the existing gaming operators in these states to legalizing online gaming. So there's a fear that those already existing gaming operators will lose, you know, share of wallet to online gaming. But we do believe California will end up legalizing sports betting. And we think that's going to happen in 2 years' time.
Now, with some of these kind of thematic approaches to investing, which kind of rely on this regulatory catalyst, law changes, there's kind of a lot of focus on what's going on in elections and stuff. Is that something that kind of really matters in terms of this theme? Or are you kind of, you're viewing it as the Supreme Court made the ruling and now it's just a kind of a slow, gradual pace of laws changing on a state basis?
With sports betting... you know, similar to Australia and the UK and the US, is that there's just a general acceptance that sports betting is an entertainment experience and that it has been happening illegally. So there's that social acceptance has accelerated the legalization of it in these markets. And also, you know, many of the powerful bodies in the US, you know, benefit from sports betting. So, you know, the media companies certainly, you know, benefit because more people, if you can bet on sports, you're going to increase your viewership of you know, sporting events. You know, the sports team owners, which are very powerful in the US, they also benefit from increasing the value of the media rights and it's increasing the value of the teams. So there's just general acceptance of sports betting, which is allowing this to get pushed through in various states. The iCasino is a little bit more complicated because there's no natural support for online casino in many of these states, and that's why that's taken a lot longer than expected. And that's kind of a bit of a challenge for the industry because sports betting is a low-margin category and the customer acquisition costs are high and it's very competitive. And typically how the markets work, say, in the UK, is that companies will acquire customers through sports betting and then cross-sell them, you know, pretty easily across to iGaming, and that's where all the money's being made. So we're very happy with the progress that's been happening on the sports betting side, but probably a little bit disappointed that the legislation, the iGaming, has been a little bit slower than expected, and that's really over the medium term where all the profit's being made.
A couple of months ago was the Super Bowl, obviously the biggest sporting event in the US, I believe. Will that kind of tell us about the development of this theme?
Well, it was huge. You know, so much was gambled on the Super Bowl. I think it's $5 billion is gambled, you know, on the Super Bowl. It's some huge number. So very exciting. So all the companies reported really, you know, really great betting volumes around the Super Bowl. However, you know, the marketing and promotion spend has definitely been higher than expected. In the last few months, as companies really fight for market share, and the fact that the promotional marketing spend has been so high has been a significant drag on some of the share prices. So DraftKings, which is one of the, you know, leading players in the US, and MGM, and a lot of these companies' share prices have been down pretty significantly over the last 12 months, and many of them are hitting all-time lows. So, and this is really off the back of the very, very heavy marketing spend and investments that have been front-loaded. However, as I mentioned earlier on, that we think that these heavy losses will trough this year. It'll start to see a rebound in the profitability. So you know, the betting volumes and the pace of legalization in sports has been better than expected, but then the marketing spend and these other upfront investments have been, you know, kind of heavier than expected, which has been acting as a drag on the share prices.
Now, we talked about the kind of catalyst for the theme. What would be the potential headwinds? Obviously, in the UK, there's been lots of kind of talk and then some strict regulations around the sector and theme. Kind of how are you thinking about this and the risk it poses to the long-term viability of the theme?
But long-term, you know, our view hasn't changed in the, and I was actually the chief strategy officer at MGM Resorts. And I, you know, helped put together our online betting strategy, which ended up being a joint venture with Entain. So, you know, I've been monitoring this theme for, you know, quite a few years, and I was a gaming analyst for a very long time before that. So the theme that we have outlined previously is, I think the thesis has been, you know, fully intact. And I think, in fact, from a revenue perspective, you know, I would say that it's developing better than expected. But, you know, as I mentioned, that these initial setup costs have been heavier than what we thought, which has been a, you know, big drag on profitability. And then we would have liked to have seen the iGaming, you know, launch a little bit faster. So I think for the most part, you know, given that the theme is pretty much intact and yet the shares are hitting sort of 12-month lows, we think that represents a, you know, a good time to start looking at this theme, you know, a bit more closely. We think it's an ideal time, particularly as we strongly believe that the earnings will trough, you know, this year. So, you know, from a US perspective, I think things are, you know, generally in pretty good shape. In other markets, there's been some headwinds, like in the UK and Australia, there's been, you know, stricter regulations, but you know, that hasn't really been part of our thesis. It's really been more about the growth in the US. And what we do like about the theme is that you can invest in you know, a bunch of different stocks that have exposure in the US. So it's not just the US listed stocks like DraftKings and MGM, but there's also a lot of interesting stocks that and companies you can look at out of Europe and also Australia that include like Evolution and Entain, and in Australia it's PointsBet. So there's a lot of companies, you know, globally that are benefiting from this rapid growth in the US, which is exciting. So you've got the B2C companies that I've mentioned, but you've also got a lot of these pick and shovel companies that are providing technology and other services to US companies, which are exciting.
Now, related to this is the ESG question. So as you know, finance is now dominated by ESG. Many ESG screens would exclude a lot of the companies in the theme. So what's your view on this?
Yeah, look, it's hard. Look, from an environmental perspective, then obviously there's no issues. But then from a, you know, socials perspective, you know, obviously we look at gaming as being an entertainment activity. So, you know, provided that people are gambling, you know, within the means, it's just, you know, similar to going out for dinner or you're going out to the cinema. The companies are taking responsible gaming, you know, very, very seriously. And that's true for the bricks and mortar companies, but also for online. So there's been, you know, a significant push to make sure that, you know, the customers are protected and not gambling too heavily. So I think with these policies and procedures, I think that's managing some of these ESG concerns. But nonetheless, you know, gaming, you know, has always been considered, you know, a sin stock along with alcohol and tobacco. So there's no escaping that perception.
Now, the kind of gambling industry, casino industry, is often said to be recession-proof. Obviously, dominating the news right now is the risk of both the US and the global economy entering into a recession. Kind of how do you view this in terms of what it means in the short or medium term for the theme?
Yeah, gaming is. I mean, if we just think about the bricks and mortar space, gaming is pretty recession-proof, but it depends on where the casino is located. So if the casino on the bricks and mortar side is located in sort of localized areas, say in places like Detroit, for example, or in Louisiana, which are targeted locals, then, you know, it has been recession-proof. Where you're located in tourist destinations like, say, Las Vegas, which is dependent on, you know, sometimes high-end tourism or conventions, and that tends to be a bit more cyclical. So we need to think about that in terms of, you know, locals versus tourism or, you know, convention customer dependencies. For the online side, you know, for sure that's definitely more recession-proof as well. And we've seen that if you look at the numbers coming out of the UK and Australia, so it's certainly a bit more defensive. One of the key challenges that we've faced over the last few years has really been the impact of COVID. And, you know, that's prevented people traveling and, you know, spending more time at home. And that's certainly benefited the online gaming space.
Thanks, Aaron, and thanks everyone for listening. So that was Aaron Fisher, the creator of the Fisher Sports Betting and iGaming UCITS ETF. So until next time, thanks.
Thanks a lot.